I can talk about it a lot better than I could, but it was easier for me back in the day when I taught food and beverage cost control class, because we'd owned restaurants for 35 years. I can tell you a whole lot about cost controls, and because I knew that stuff. Well, this is stuff I've had to learn. So it's been the industry that has really guided us and helped us grow and keep going. And, you know, I would love to get to the point that we just have so many students that we don't even know what to do with them all. We're not there yet.
Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. This show is powered by our sponsors, Align, NICMAP, ProCare HR, Sage, Gibson Insurance, Hamilton CapTel, Paragon Senior Living, ServiceMaster, The Bridge Group Construction, Salinity, and produced by Grit and Gravel Marketing. Connect with the BTG Network team and use your voice to influence the industry at btgvoice.com.
Bridge the Gap, 3, 2. Welcome to Bridge the Gap Podcast, the senior living podcast with Josh and Lucas. A beautiful day here in San Diego, and we have an incredible opportunity to talk to Nancy Swanger. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, yes. You are the founding director of the Granger Cobb Institute for Business of Aging at Washington State University.
That is correct.
So many of our listeners are going to recognize that immediately. Granger Cobb is a legendary icon. Tell us more about his life.
Oh, he was incredible. And we were blessed in that we had four founding folks who helped us start this program at Washington State University, and he was one of them. And I would love to tell you that this idea was mine. It was not. I was the director of the hospitality school at Washington State University for about 10 and a half years. And in 2010, Jerry Meyer, who was at that time the president and COO of Aegis Living, approached me through a random connection. It was just wild how the universe works. But and said, hey, you guys have this great hospitality program, and we have these great senior living communities, and we need to be working together. And I was just super grateful that it was over the phone, because I have zero poker face. And I'm thinking, what? Because I didn't know anything about the industry personally. My parents were in their 80s and they were still living in their own home. And my frame of reference about this industry was nursing homes. And I'm like, oh, sure. I got these 18 to 22 year old kids thinking they're going into hospitality and wearing these cool suits and these glamorous, sexy career. And I'm going to think about a nursing home, I'm not getting the connection. Well, long story short, I was way wrong. But besides that, almost weirdly at the same time, completely independently, Bill Pettit also came to me. And he, of course, was the founder and president of Merrill Gardens, and along the same lines. And I thought, there's got to be something to this. This is weird that two superpowers in this industry that I know nothing about have approached me. So, kind of long story short, we met for a meeting, and they brought a couple of friends, and those two friends were Tana Gall, who was at that time president of Leisure Care, and Granger Cobb, who was the CEO of Emeritus. And we sat down at a table, and I thought, oh, this is cool. And then I went on a little tour, and I realized how wrong I was, and that what amazing places these were, and how happy the residents looked, and all the cool things. And so I sat down around a table with them, and they helped me knock out a curriculum for at that time was an elective course in our traditional hospitality program. And so we got it all together, and I'm like, okay, look, I can help write a syllabus, and I can herd the cats, but man, I know nothing about your industry. My degrees were all in education. My industry background was all restaurants, primarily quick serve restaurants. I can't really teach this stuff. And they literally, we taught the first class in the fall of 2011, and they literally flew people over the mountain from Seattle to Pullman, Washington, which is right on the Washington-Idaho border where our university is, to teach the classes on various topics. And they put it all together, and it wasn't, it was never a promotion about their particular companies. They used sort of WSU generic deck, PowerPoint slide deck backgrounds. I mean, it was literally about trying to inform kids about a career option they'd never thought about. And so that's where it started. And we just kind of started building after that. And then sadly, in 2015, when Granger Cobb passed, we were down the road doing some things, but we got real serious and created this institute at WSU. And friends of Granger's came together and put together a $2.5 million naming gift to honor him. And that became an endowment for us. And that's our little pot of gold that we operate from. But we try every day. I had the blessing of knowing Granger and working with him. And so I try to honor that legacy every single day.
It's very powerful.
It really is. So that is an amazing story you captured really well. So thank you for that. So 2011, the passing in 2015 and the naming and sort of that endowment, you all, it sounds like, have done amazing things. So catch us up on a little bit of history from 2011, 2015 to modern day. What does the program look like now, and what's the future look like?
Yeah, that's, we, as I mentioned, we started with one little elective course that was just a generic special topics course. It didn't even really have its own number for a period of time. And what that has grown into is we now have a major let me back up a step. We are in the School of Hospitality Business Management at WSU, which is housed in the Carson College of Business. So when we started down this path, we were the first that program became kind of the first of its kind. There are a lot of really great, successful, long-term care programs and a variety of things, but they tend to be in, healthcare management, health and human services, a variety of areas. There, when we started, there wasn't one there were very few in a college of business, and there absolutely wasn't one in that was part of a hospitality school. But Bill Pettit in particular helped us realize that, with this value proposition being around socialization, it makes a whole lot of sense that there would be this hospitality component, that's really where the industry needed to be headed. Kind of, it's not that we're denying there's a care element, but that doesn't need to be the sole focus. There's this hospitality piece to it. And then at the end of the day, it's still a business. These are businesses that have to be successful in order to be self-sustaining. And Granger Cobb, his comment was always no margin, no mission. And so they like the fact that we were in this college of business. And so our hospitality school has been around since 1932, and we're the third oldest one in the country. Cornell was the oldest, then Michigan State, and then us. I mean, they just kind of kept moving west, I guess. And so this became the third major in the hospitality school. We have a traditional sort of generalist hospitality degree. Then because we're in the state of Washington, we have another very specialized degree in beverage business management. And then this third one that we have now with us is in aging business management. So we, in 2020, so we started with our little elective class, we moved along, we got the institute going, all these things. And then since 2020, well, we started in 2020. Hey, you know what wasn't a good time to start anything? 2020. But we launched the major in aging business management in the fall of 20. Then we launched a minor in the fall of 21. We also, in that period, I think it was summer of 22, launched a non-credit-bearing online on-demand professional development certificate program. We also have a 4-credit certificate program for those who might be on campus and want, have a major in construction management, will want to do something in seniors housing. And so that's where we are. And it's interesting because since that first elective course, we've probably put about 900 students through just that course. And we did a little research project with a graduate student last spring and discovered that there are about, of those, of tracking as best we could, stalking them on mostly on LinkedIn, but we found that of that group that we could find, there were almost 20% of them that were either in seniors housing or in a seniors housing adjacent career, like in a vendor, as a vendor or something. And man, that's a huge success rate for me. I mean, I thought that was a big deal because these are not people that have a degree stamped on their forehead. They are a lot of people who have degrees in something else and realize that they now have a different, an opportunity they'd never thought about in seniors housing. And so the course, the one course, I still teach that intro course of that sequence. And the one thing we really stress a lot is that no one cares what your degree's in, quite frankly. Do you have a caring heart? Do you have an affinity for an aging population? And if you do, there's a place for you. You know, these buildings have real estate people and finance people and maintenance people and groundskeepers and horticulturists and, you know, ops people and nurses, the whole gamut, right? But the cool thing about it is that for the next 40 years, you can probably write your own ticket because the demand is huge and the supply is low. And so that's, I think, for young people graduating right now, that's a huge sell. And, you know, today's younger people, the people that we have in class now, they want a great job. They want a lifestyle. They want, you know, a balance in their life. They want to be taken care of and compensated. But really what's important is they don't want a job that's just a job. They want to know that their job matters. And, you know, what could matter more than this? Making a difference in the life of a resident every single day, what could possibly be better than that? And so we see those lights in their little eyes twinkle and turn on when it's like, oh, yeah. Like, I'm one of my great success, you know, my favorite stories, we have several of them, but our very recent one, we have a young lady who's an accountant, was in the our class last semester, and her major was accounting, and she had a standing offer with an accounting firm when she graduates this May. She took the class, was totally turned on by the idea, and has since declined the accounting offer and is taking a management development program with Touchmark. So, I mean, those are the wins.
Yeah.
Those are the wins.
Yeah.
So
that's
yeah.
Great.
So that's kind of, did that?
Oh yeah. That was so,
kind of where we are?
You did it so well. And that's so exciting. The impact you're having, it's such a huge need. When I first got in the business over 20 years ago, there was no resources like that. And so it's exciting for me, as I've been able to go and speak at some of the universities in the South. I always think, gosh, none of them, when I go in and talk to juniors and seniors in business, none of them even understand at all what senior housing is. So the gap that you all are filling is great. And so we wish you so much growth and success. And with that, so you obviously know the opportunity that senior housing as an industry has for growth. How is that informing your strategies for growth of your program?
First of all, let me say, our program has been, since the four of those great people, we went around the table, it has absolutely been industry driven since that day. We have an Innovation Leadership Council. Adam Clark, who's the president of Aegis Business Development, is the chair of that committee. I mean, we have speakers in class, all the big names. Bob Kramer kicks off our class. And, you know, the one great thing that came out of COVID, we learned to have meetings and visits virtually. We aren't limited to speakers in our backyard anymore. We learned that, you know, Bob Kramer can come to us from, you know, the East Coast. And so Bob kicks us off. Bob gets on in the Zoom space and does a phenomenal job of sort of laying out the 30,000 foot picture of why these students need to think about seniors housing. And so it is all industry driven. They've written a lot of the modules in our certificate program, the curriculum, they've reviewed it. This is all them. And so there's a ton of buy-in there and support that way. And the speakers, and they mentor our students. We do group projects and they all have a mentor, an industry mentor. And so there's a lot of involvement. And I think that helps us stay relevant. And we're humble about that. I don't claim to know this stuff. I've learned it. I take as many notes as the students do when we have these presenters in class. I've been learning this stuff since 2010, and I can talk about it a lot better than I could. But it was easier for me back in the day when I taught food and beverage cost control class because I we'd owned restaurants for 35 years. I can tell you a whole lot about cost controls, and because I knew that stuff. Well, this is stuff I've had to learn. So it's been the industry that has really guided us and helped us grow and keep going. And, you know, I would love to get to the point that we just have so many students that we don't even know what to do with them all. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know what that would be. Being a business person, how could you ever say you have too many, you know, customers in our case, which would be students?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, it's really exciting. I'm curious. So for you all, it's sort of part of the hospitality.
Yes.
And how many, do you have any instinct or is there hard numbers around people that come seeking hospitality or that's what they think they want to do? And then they're like, what is this senior living thing? And they turn their attention. When is the aha moment happening for people? Is it after they maybe stumble into a class and hear about it, or are they seeking this out?
So that's a great question. And I think we've seen it morph. When we first started teaching this class, and we would ask students, why are you in this class? And I guarantee you 99.9% of the time, the answer was, I needed 3 upper division credits and it fit my time block. Hey, you know what? I haven't been in college for a long time, but I get that. Yeah. I mean, if this class was going to keep me all on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and I didn't have to go Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm taking it whether I'm interested or not, right? And so I get that. But what we're seeing now in the last, I would say, 5, 6, 7 years maybe, is that it's more intentional of people being in the class, just in general, not necessarily the hospitality students, but people taking the class. So when we say, you know, why are you in this class? More and more students have had a loved one. So they've gone to see grandma or grandpa or an aunt or an uncle or someplace in a community. So they know it. I mean, the number of hands that go up or respond to that on the survey, much higher. The other thing that's quite surprising to me, has been surprising to me, is that, oh, it was my first job because there was a community in my neighborhood and I served in the dining room. And so we're seeing that as well. So I think there's a shift in just general kind of knowledge about it. But then there are people who are hospitality majors that take the class as an elective. This class also fulfills a diversity UCOR requirement in our general WSU requirements because we thread a strand of ageism through the whole thing, and it's ageism on both ends, not just the older end. Young people get discriminated based on their age as well, and so we talk about that. So people will take that course for a variety of reasons, and I've been on, this is my 26th year on the campus there. A lot of students know me, and so they're just there. Then something happens sometimes, and it's not me, it's not the curriculum, it's some presenter who's been in class who that they connect with, whether that be sometimes we have a lot of folks who are there in person, but a lot of them are virtual, but they'll reach out via email or LinkedIn or whatever and connect, and then they're kind of off to the races about shifting their idea about an interest in this as a career path.
It seems like a huge opportunity. Lucas and I have been amazed through the years. We have had people find us that are young, attending school, looking for careers, and they stumble upon senior living, and we pop up and we're able to connect them to resources. There's probably going to be some people right now that are hearing this, maybe thinking about getting into senior housing and not really sure how to be equipped to do that. Is there any opportunities? Is there distance opportunities?
Oh, yes.
And virtual opportunities for learning?
Yes. So our degree, our traditional 4-year baccalaureate degree, is available completely online. In fact, we have a graduate this spring that's in Kentucky, and that's kind of fun, who's never been on the Pullman campus and won't be there until her and her family come for graduation. I love those kinds of stories. But so we do have that. And then, of course, the non-credit bearing certificate program is always, it's available completely online, on demand. And to me, that program is targeted, I'd say, to two buckets of people. One is people who are already in the industry, maybe at more of a caregiver entry level, early supervisory kind of position, that would like to move up, but may need some extra tools or a little help, or sometimes just about a little confidence to be able to get to the next level. And so I think there's that group that we'd like to, that's already here. We don't have to sell them on the industry. They just need some tools and some help to advance. The other group is, and especially hospitality professionals, who are looking for another career. They want to shift. Like I said, I've been in hospitality my entire life, and it's great, but it's really great when you're younger and you can stay up till 3 a.m. That passed for me many years ago. But people are wanting to transition, and especially those hospitality professionals have all this, really, quite frankly, all the same skills and abilities. They just need to transfer them to this new space. And in doing so, need to understand that there's a care component now, and that people are moving in, you know, that's their home. They're living there for, 22 months plus, not 2.3 days. And so there's a different, there's some different components to that, a regulatory environment, a care piece. So if you take those hospitality professionals and you add a couple of those kinds of modules, then you've also positioned some folks for some lovely careers in this business. So that's where we are.
Well, that's very exciting. What a successful program. What a great story. It needs to be told. We're excited to be able to share that. Thank you for the enthusiasm, the commitment to excellence, and helping our industry grow leaders and attract leaders to our space.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Honored to have been invited to do this, truly.
We need to have Bridge the Gap come and visit the campus and meet some of these kids.
Now, that would be fun. That would be fun. We'd love to.
You just let me know when and we're in hospitality, so we'll take good care of you when you get there.
It will be eat, drink, and be merry.
Say no more.
We would love to showcase our campus.
It's on record. This has been recorded.
Love
That'd be great. Yeah, we'll set that up. So to our listeners, should Bridge the Gap show up at the Granger Cobb Institute? Yes, I think so.
Yep. Okay. Survey says yes.
Nancy will set that up. So thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure.
And to our listeners, go down to the show notes, because you're going to want to check in with Nancy and her team there at the Granger Cobb Institute. Those links are right there. Click it. And if you want to learn more about Bridge the Gap, go to btgvoice.com. And thanks for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.